Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and forgive us.
Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and perform your vows to the Most High. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills.
I know all the birds of the hills, and all their roofs and fields is mine.
If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine.
Do I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats?
Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and perform your vows to the Most High.
Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify my name.
But to the wicked God says, what right have you to recite my statutes, or take my covenant on your lips?
For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you.
These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself.
But now I rebuke you, and lay a charge before you.
Mark this, then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart, and there be none to deliver.
The one who offers thanksgiving as a sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and perform your vows to the Most High. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. A reading from Romans chapters 10 and 11. Just as you Gentiles were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of the disobedience of the Jews, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from the Passion according to St. Luke, chapter 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put Jesus to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of a crowd. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me." And he said to them, "When I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything?" They said nothing. He said to them, "But now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack. And let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me." And he was numbered with the transgressors. "For what is written about me has its fulfillment." And they said, "Look, Lord, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Again, two verses from the reading from Romans. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." The theme for these Wednesdays in Lent is the theme of holy bodies. We'll be looking at God's purposes in the scriptures for us in our bodies, in our life in this world, and in the life of the world to come. And today in particular, we are thinking of our bodies as holy sacrifices. Now, when we hear the word sacrifice, we probably think of the Old Testament sacrifices. There are many of them. The holy sacrifices commanded by God and brought by his people. There were grain offerings and drink offerings. There were offerings of the first fruits. And above all, of course, there were the bloody offerings. The sacrifices of bulls and of pigeons, and most of all, of lambs. I often wonder what it would have been like to have been part of ancient Israelite worship with all of that blood being poured out day after day and month after month and year after year. Sacrifices each morning and evening, sacrifices for major festivals and holidays, sacrifices for sin and for guilt and for thanksgiving and praise. Animals were presented to God. Their blood was poured out. Their voices fell silent, bleating lambs 1 minute, and silent lambs the next. Their bodies were carved to be eaten or to be burned. Their lives were given as substitutes for the lives of the people. Now, when we turn to the New Testament, the sacrifices begin to fade away. In the Gospels, of course, they're still there in the background. But we hear more about Jesus clearing the temple and driving the animals out of the courtyard than we do about actual sacrifices taking place. Change is in the air. The sacrifices of the New Testament will not be the same as the sacrifices of the Old Testament, because the great final sacrifice has arrived. Lambs are no longer needed because the Lamb of God has come to take away sins. And when our Lord came to take away sins, he came not as a physical lamb, but he came as a human being. A body was given to him, the body of a man, that he might do the Father's will. And in that body, he offered himself for the life of the world. He presented that body to the Father as a sacrifice for sins. And he gave that body to his disciples in a supper that he prepared for them. "This is my body, which is given for you. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." And we hear in those words, in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross and the gift of the Holy Supper given to us, we hear the mercy of God. The mercy that God has shown to you and to me, not only for our souls, but mercy also for our bodies. I think sometimes as Christians, we can perhaps think of our spiritual life as being about our souls, maybe about our minds, but we think less about our bodies. But our bodies are important. Your body and mine, they are given to us by our Father in heaven. We believe that he made us with our eyes, ears, and all our members, with our reason and all our senses, and that he still takes care of our bodies. And why did he give us these bodies? So that in our bodies we can relate to him as our God, we can relate to other people, we can relate to the whole of creation. And our Lord Jesus Christ came not only to redeem our souls and our minds, but also to redeem our bodies by his blood. He gave himself into death in the body. He rose from the dead in a body so that we and our bodies might be his own and live under him in his kingdom. He came to redeem our bodies. And our bodies are also the vehicle that the Holy Spirit has visited with all of his gifts, calling us by the gospel in our bodies, enlightening our bodies with his gifts, and sanctifying and keeping us with Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 12, St. Paul also speaks about sacrifice. Not about the sacrifices of animals, and not there about the sacrifice of Christ, though it's in the background, but instead he speaks of our bodies as a sacrifice. St. Paul says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Present your bodies as living sacrifices. We may wonder what St. Paul was thinking when he said that, how he could possibly think of our bodies as living sacrifices, with the joints that need to be replaced and the hearts that have valves in need of fixing, with bodies that are falling apart and sick, ravaged by illness, and growing closer and closer to death. But St. Paul says that yes, this is the body that we are to present to our God as a living sacrifice. These bodies that were once bodies of sin, these bodies that were once bodies of death, these bodies that still are awaiting the redemption, these are the bodies that God has given to us. And yes, these are the bodies that he desires to have presented to him. Not that we may be saved by presenting our bodies, but rather because of the mercy he has shown us. And there are three things St. Paul says about our bodies being presented. One is, he describes our bodies as living sacrifices. Unlike those Old Testament sacrifices in which the animals were slaughtered and their life was drained from them, we have bodies that are more alive and growing more alive all the time through our God. So that the sacrifice we bring of our body is not a sacrifice of a body that is dying, but rather a body that is living through the mercies of God. He describes this also as a holy sacrifice. We may wonder how our bodies could possibly be holy, but they are holy because God makes them holy through his word to us. You were washed in holy baptism, and so you were made holy in your body as well as your soul. And through the Holy Communion, that holy body and blood of Jesus that touches you, your body is also made and kept holy. And St. Paul says that the sacrifice of our bodies is acceptable to God. Not acceptable because our lives are perfect or our bodies are perfect, but rather because we and our bodies are covered by the blood of Christ. Because our bodies are given to God for his use, according to his word. God has redeemed and sanctified our bodies that we may be his. They've been given to us by Jesus, so that our bodies themselves and all that we do are acts of worship. From morning to evening, day after day, the life we live in the body is an act of worship to our God. No longer the offering of animals, but the offering of ourselves, because of what God has done for us in Christ. Our God claims our bodies for his purposes here, and he has claimed our bodies for life with him forever there. So as we gather today, We may not think of our bodies as much, but St. Paul invites us, because of the sacrifice of Christ, because of his body given for us, to lay our bodies into the hands of our God, to entrust our bodies with all of their gifts and with all of their brokenness to him, and to put ourselves at the disposal of our God, to give ourselves in all that we have and all that we are in worship to our God. This, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is the only sacrifice that we have to give, a sacrifice not of atonement, but of thanksgiving, an offering of praise to our God for the mercies that he has shown to us and that he continues to show to us, giving back to God what he first gave to us, and giving back to God what we know God will take and will redeem and will make even more holy in the life of the world to come. So we put our bodies into the hands of our God as holy sacrifices for him to use, for him to keep, and for him to raise. We can say with St. Paul, "The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Graciously, my faith.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
Show us your steadfast love, O Lord,
and grant us your salvation.
Let your priests be clothed with righteousness,
and let your saints shout for joy.
Lord, keep this nation under your care. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy,
for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten,
and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever.
Create in me a clean heart, O God,
and renew a right spirit within me.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, direct, sanctify, and govern both our hearts and bodies in the ways of your laws and in the works of your commandments, that through your mighty protection we may ever be preserved in both body and soul through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Gracious Jesus, our Lord and our God, at this hour you bore our sins in your own body on the tree, so that we, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness. Have mercy upon us now, and at the hour of our death, and grant to us, your servants, with all others who devoutly remember your blessed passion, a holy and peaceful life in this world, and through your grace, eternal glory in the life to come, wherewith the Father and the Holy Spirit, you live and reign, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Thank you.
Lord.